brings the devotionals. Again, we're looking at the Ten Commandments. We're closing it on the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Again, there's a reason, of course, reason for everything that God does, but there's a reason that this one is first and not fifth, and that is because it is the foundation. It's not only the foundation of the other commands, it's really the foundation of life, which I believe is stated in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. God must be our focus. If he isn't, life isn't right. There's no getting around it. If God is not first, life is not right. And life is not good. Even if you convince yourself that it is, I'm here to tell you it isn't. He must be first. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I've been looking at the things that are forbidden in this command. We've seen that all forms of atheism, there's basically three. We've seen all profanity or lessening the person of God, of course, is forbidden. We spent the last couple weeks seeing that idolatry in all of its forms, and there's many, are forbidden. Whatever captures our attention or occupies our mind or fills our thoughts or consumes our desires more than God is an idol and is in violation to this very first command. Again, many times people think that an idol must be something that is evil, but nothing could be further from the truth. Anything and everything can become an idol. There isn't anything in this world, whether it be people, whether it be things, doesn't matter. There isn't anything in this world that you and I are not capable of putting ahead of God. And when we do, we break the first command. So I believe the first commandment by most of us is broken every day. At some point in the day, we break the first command. Whatever is given, whatever gives God a back seat is in violation of the first command. Whatever we allow to compete with God is in violation to the first command. So when we allow anything apart from God to rule us, to, you know, and we will convince ourselves, well, that thing doesn't rule me. There's nothing sadder than to be a slave and not even know it. And that's what the devil does. But whatever rules us more than God violates the command. Whatever compels us more than God violates the command. Again, this can be internal. It can be external. It can be both. But again, whether it's internal or external, violates the command. In Psalm 135, and this is where we closed last week, verse 15 through verse 17, the idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They, that is the idols, they have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes they have, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouth. So we saw last week from these verses, idolatry is foolishness. Anything we put ahead of God is foolishness. Idolatry, or all idols, are temporary. Therefore, all idols are insignificant. When we put something ahead of God, we're settling for shadows rather than substance. That's foolishness. That's very foolish. Not only that, but when we settle for shadows rather than substance, that's very costly. It costs us dearly. So idolatry is foolishness. Idolatry steals our freedom. When we put anything in the place of or head of God, we become slaves to that thing or person or whatever it is. God created us to be controlled. He created us to be controlled. A lot of people try to deny that, but there's no denying it. We were created to be mastered. And we will be a slave to something or someone in this life. There's no getting around it. We were created to be mastered. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Romans chapter 6, very familiar verse of Scripture, verse 16. Know ye not, again, that those three words imply ignorance, or how easy it is to convince ourselves that something isn't true when it is. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants are ye to whom ye obey. See, people today convince themselves, they yield themselves to something, someone, whatever, and they convince themselves, I'm not the servant of this. And Paul starts off by saying, know ye not that if you yield yourself to something, you become its servant, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. There's only two things, I mean, in a general summary, there's only two things that we yield ourselves to, that which is sinful, contrary to God, or righteousness. That's stated there in verse 16. So we all become a slave to something or someone in this life. Our life is managed by whatever we give our life to. Whatever we give our life to, our life is managed by that. So when we put something ahead of God, our life becomes managed by that. It may only be for 5 minutes. It may only be for a few seconds. It may be for a lifetime. But again, it's in violation to the first command. So we are created, or we were designed, to exist in a subservient relationship with the Lord. And freedom, true freedom, comes from Him being our master. When God is our master, when we yield to Him, when we put Him first, we have freedom. When we put anything ahead of God, our freedom has been stolen. Now, we function best with God in the first place. When God is given first place, we function best. When God is given first place, life is most enjoyable. So these individuals who say and who have it in their mind that I'm not going to give everything to God because I have a life to live. Oh, but you're losing out. You're a slave to that which is contrary to God. I'm going to enjoy life, they will say. Well, the best way to enjoy life is to put God first. Everything else is just deception. So, when we put something ahead of God, it's foolish. When we put something ahead of God, it steals our freedom. And so doing, it's degrading. It's degrading. It changes the individual so that they become like what they serve. We become like what we serve. In other words, it begins to identify our life. Notice in Psalm 135 again, and verse 18. Psalm 135, verse 18. They that make them, still speaking of the idols here, are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them. You become like what you put ahead of God. If we put God first, we become more like Him. Anything that doesn't make us more like Him degrades us. It degrades us. Notice in Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2. Verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity? And then notice, and are become vain. They walked after vanity, and they became something. They became what they walked after. They became vain. So, when we put something ahead of God, that degrades us. It's degrading. All through the Scriptures, prior to any revival, there was always a destroying and casting down of false gods. You read through the history of the kings. And when there was revival, when there was partial revival, there was always a destroying and a casting down of false gods. And so it is. There must be a dethroning of idols. There must be a dethroning of everything that we put ahead of God. Most people are not willing to dethrone whatever's in their life that they put ahead of God. Rather, they put more thrones, more and more and more. And that's one of the reasons that we do not experience revival, is because there must be a dethroning of whatever it is that is ahead of God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Again, that's foundational. It's foundational to living a life for Him. So we need to identify what it is. We need to make personal examination into the throne room of our hearts. We need to ask ourselves, what is it that occupies or rules my heart? What is it that occupies or rules my thoughts? What do I think upon? Do I think upon God? Do I think on other things rather than God? What is it that occupies and rules my time? What is it that compels me? What is it that motivates and drives me? Many things motivate people. The desire for approval can motivate some. Well, that's an idol. Most people, they think, well, money motivates. Well, that's true. Money motivates many. And then, of course, that's an idol. But money isn't the only idol. Again, the seeking of approval, the seeking of applause, on and on we can go. What is it that motivates us? There's one thing that ought to motivate the child of God, and that's to the glory of God, that it would glorify the Lord. To what do we find ourselves clinging to the most? What is it that we cling to? You can usually find that out because people get very upset if you try to take away what they cling to. People get disturbed. And so we can, what is it that disturbs us? What do we crave? What are we resolved to do? What have we determined to do? What are we dependent upon? What do we find the most pleasure in? What is it that gives us pleasure? Someone might say, well, I find the most pleasure in spending time with family. And there's nothing wrong with spending time in family, but I sure hope that's not where you find the most pleasure. We ought to find the most pleasure in God. What is it that we put the most effort into? Spiritual things, material things? What is it that we put the most effort into? If everything were taken away, what is the one thing that you feel that you could not bear to live without? The only answer to that should be God. Spiritual things. So the Almighty, all sovereign, all majestic God, who redeemed us, rescued us, liberated us, and saved our life from the dominion of sin. In this first command, very directly and plainly says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That is not hard to understand. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That is not hard to understand the meaning of those words. Nothing hard to understand about any of the Ten Commandments. They're very plain. That brings us into the second commandment. Notice Exodus 20, verses 4 through verse 6. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. The first commandment speaks of the object or whom we are to worship. The second commandment states the means and the ways in which we are to worship. The key expression of the second commandment is, thou shalt not bow thyself down to them nor serve them. The scope of the second commandment is seen in three verbs. Notice, thou shalt not make, thou shalt not bow, nor serve. Make, bow, and serve. You're not to make idols, you're not to bow to them, you're not to serve them. And what are these things? It's anything put ahead of God. We're not to make, we're not to allow them in our lives. We're not to bow down to them. We're not to serve them. So the emphasis of the second commandment is that worship is to be spiritual, and that God is above all and cannot be equaled. And since God cannot be equaled, then of course we are not to try to make anything in the likeness of God. So again, we'll use the same outline. We want to see what is forbidden in the command. We want to see what is required in the command. We will look first at what is forbidden in this command. Again, much of what is forbidden is the same things that were forbidden in the first command. Any thinking of God lightly is forbidden. And again, in the first command, this is also true. If we put something ahead of God, then we are guilty of thinking lightly of God. You see, the problem, we reverse it. People will say, well, I love such and such too much. No, that's really not the problem. You need to look at it a different way. The problem is you love God too little. And when we break the first command, we think lightly of God. When we think that we can put anything in the likeness of God, then we think lightly of God. If we think there's anything on this earth that can truly represent God, we have light thoughts of the Lord. So to make any so-called likeness of God, to bow down in reverence to them or to serve them reveals that we have a lack of understanding of the greatness of God. We lack understanding of the greatness of God. We ought to find so-called pictures of God or things in heaven, could be angels. We'll find them quite offensive. Not any or any likeness of anything that is in heaven. That's not only God, that's angelic beings also. There's nothing in this world that can create the likeness of these things, and we need to realize that, and therefore every attempt is offensive. So it's a misunderstanding of the greatness of God. Right along with that, it's a misunderstanding of the fact that God is incomparable. There's nothing you can compare to God. I cringe when somebody tries to compare something earthly to God. You're on a mission of failure, and you're headed in the direction of blasphemy. So we need to be careful. In Isaiah 46 and verse 5, Isaiah 46 verse 5. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like? There's nothing you can, again, there's nothing you can create that is comparable to God. Nothing. And people will say, as they perhaps draw a picture of Jesus or have a statue of an angel, and they'll say, well, I know that that doesn't come near. Well, yes, you do and you don't. Because let's be honest, when you look at something long enough, you begin to think that's what it's like. I mean, there's people who actually think because of the drawings of Jesus, that's what he looks like. Well, we know he doesn't look like that. Well, but you look at those pictures long enough, and when Jesus comes to your mind, what do you think of? You think of that picture. So we have to realize that nothing is comparable to God. To make anything in the so-called likeness of God shows disrespect to God. It's a slighting of the greatness of God. And then, of course, if you take it a step further and you bow down to it, you begin to have a reverence for it. And that's what that means, to bow down. Again, it implies that you have a reverence for it. I was, when the Christmas decorations were destroyed in Frankenmuth, I think it was a couple years ago now, I was in the doctor's office, and an old gentleman in there was very disturbed about what had happened. And what he kept saying over and over and over again was, they stole the baby Jesus. They stole the baby Jesus. I wanted to say something so bad, but I didn't. He was very disturbed. But in that man's mind, that's what he was actually thinking. I mean, it was real to him. And that's what happens when you have these so-called likenesses of whether it be God, whether it be Christ, whether it be angels, whatever. You begin to think that this is what it's like. That's why it's disturbing also when you hear it much in funerals. People carnalize heaven. They make heaven like earth. Well, that's blasphemy. There isn't anything on this earth that you can compare to heaven. Nothing. It's incomparable. So we need to be aware when we start to go down that road. So when we make these things, we bring God, the tendency is to bring God down to the level of man. You look at most theology today concerning God, and that's exactly what has happened. They have brought God down to the level of man. That's always blasphemy. That's always erroneous theology. In Psalm 50, and we'll close, Psalm 50, verse 21. These things, let's see, I think I might have a wrong verse. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. No, this is what I want. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself. That's always erroneous thinking. Always. But I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. Read Romans chapter 1 also. So irreverence to God is a cause for disobedience to the second commandment. It is a cause for disobedience to the first commandment as well. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again, Lord, for the commandments that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, that they serve as boundaries in our lives for our own protection and for your honor and for your glory. And Lord, we do pray today that you would help us to worship you in a way that would glorify thy name. We pray, Lord, that you would draw us closer to thee. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.